Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he encountered a silent cowboy on a desolate prairie road, and then the cowboy vanished into thin air.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
So, we appreciate you listening, and if you have a real ghost story, we would really like for you to share it with us. Call it in if you want. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. If you want to write it down, just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you want to be a premium subscriber, you get advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and I get to see my sister Kathy Gordon the day after tomorrow.
Can you believe that?
We are so close to getting together again. We haven't seen each other since March.
Yeah.
Yeah, so by the time this airs, we'll be back from vacation, but still, we're
so
getting ready
excited.
To leave on vacation.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. We're doing the Chicago thing. We'll try to see about catching something haunted. We've got 3 games, Cubby games that we're going to, and we'll try to do something haunted. We usually try to sneak something like that in, so we'll let you guys know about that, of course.
Oh, I hope we can do something paranormal. I haven't really had time to look at what we could do.
Do you remember The Devil in the White City?
Oh, my God. That is an amazing book.
There
and
is
they do
a
The
tour
Devil
for
in
that.
The White City tour. Let's do it.
You know, I was thinking that might be kind of a good one.
If anybody's looking for a good book, that is if you've never read The Devil in the White City, it's fascinating because I love historical books, but it weaves two different stories together that are both true that happen in Chicago.
At
the same time, the World's Fair, and you can still see like the science and industry museum, the aquarium. You know, those are buildings from then, and so it's fascinating what was built that we no longer see. And then at the same time, they had a serial killer, H.H. Holmes, was in Chicago, and they weave these two stories together, which doesn't seem like you could do it. Whoever wrote the book, I can't think now off the top of my head, did a fantastic job. It reads like a novel. It's just really, really good.
I think I did that tour a while back, and probably a different group now would run this one, but it kind of takes you through, you know, the different buildings that were built for the World's Fair, but then it takes you to where he actually had this torture chamber building.
Yeah, he did.
And you end up there.
And I think,
you know, at that location where it was. It's not there now.
Yeah, because isn't there a post office there now? They built a post office.
There's
in
something
like the
60s. Else there now, but it, you know, weaves you around the city. And what we have to remember is back then, what year would this be? 1890?
Yeah, it was late 1800s, I believe.
Where women would go to Chicago to try to get a job, to get money, to send back home to help the family. So you might have a lot of brothers and sisters. There's not a place for you necessarily on the farm now. And so you go to the city to try to get money and help out as you can. And maybe you'll get married or whatever. Well, of course, these girls in 1890 don't have a particular way to let everybody know they got there okay. So it might go for a few months before somebody says, you know, we haven't heard from Doris.
Yeah.
And then no one ever hears from Doris again. How do you track them down?
Yeah, and when you think about how easy it would be to
be a serial killer. Mm-hmm.
And get away with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot tell me those places where the place where H.H. Holmes killed these poor people, that has got to be haunted AF in that area. Oh. I've heard that post, because I think it's a post office there now. I've heard that's very haunted. So let's talk about a ghost story. This is interesting. So it says, I was listening to some old episodes last night, and I caught one about the F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne. I was amazed to hear it because I was stationed there from 1997 to 2009, and I have several paranormal experiences of my own. The first one took place in December of 1997. The dormitory I lived in was a large two-story U-shaped brick building built in the late 1800s to house cavalry, that's hard to say, cavalry soldiers who protected railroad workers from Indian attacks. My room was on the second floor, directly across from a door that led to the stairwell. It was normal to hear foot traffic going up and down the stairs at all hours of the day. But since it was December, most of the personnel in the dorm were away on leave for the holidays, and the place was unusually quiet. At the time, I was a 19-year-old airman working maintenance on the ICBM missiles in what's called the missile field. I'll explain more about that in a minute. That night, I had just finished a 16-hour shift in the missile field and got back to my room around 11 p.m. I wanted nothing more than to take a shower and go to sleep since I had another long day ahead of me. I had just climbed into bed and closed my eyes when I was startled by the sound of someone running down the hallway. I heard the stairwell door open and then slam shut. I didn't think much of it at first, and I closed my eyes again. And then about 2 minutes later, the same noise, running footsteps, stairwell door opening and slamming shut. I figured it was just one of the guys having some sort of drunken race around the dorm to pass the time. Winters in Wyoming don't give you much to do. But when it happened a third time, I started to get annoyed. I got out of bed, opened my door, and waited for whoever it was to come running by again. I could hear heavy running footsteps in the hallway next to mine. Since the building was U-shaped, I couldn't see anyone yet. I waited for them to come barreling around the corner. The sounds got closer, but when it reached my hallway, there was nothing to see. Just the loud pounding of what sounded like a group of people running toward me. I stood in my doorway, afraid to move, as the sound got louder and louder. The thumping shook the doorframe. Then it blew past me, and the stairwell door flew open as if someone had slammed into it with her whole body. It crashed against the wall, slammed shut with a bang. I was scared out of my mind. I shut and locked my door, jumped back into bed, pulled the covers over my head like a little kid. Happened several more times during my stay in that dorm until I moved out in the spring of 1998. That is creepy. The second experience didn't happen on F.E. Warren Base, but out in the missile field. As a maintenance technician, I drive several hours from base to work on remote missile silos throughout Wyoming, Nebraska, and northern Colorado. This was the summer of 1999. One of my coworkers and I were driving back late at night along a gravel road in northern Colorado, known as the Grover Express because it passes through the town of Grover. We just wanted to get home and get some rest. It was a full moon night, bright enough to see for miles. The land was flat, no trees, just prairie and the occasional rocky bluff. We were in a large truck with some electrical issues. The headlights would occasionally shut off, but you could get them back on by giving the dashboard a good smack. I used to have a car like that. As we drove, my friend motioned ahead. About a quarter mile up, there was someone walking alongside of the road, and that was strange. We were in the middle of nowhere late at night. When we pulled up alongside, my friend rolled down his window and asked if the person was okay or needed a ride. It was an older man wearing coveralls and a cowboy hat. He just looked at us, didn't say a word, waved, and kept on walking. We figured he was a rancher and didn't need any help, My friend rolled the window up and started to speed up, and the headlights went out again. He smacked the dash, the lights came back on, and the man who we had just passed was now standing directly in front of us. My friend slammed on the brakes, the truck slid in the gravel, and when we stopped, we jumped out expecting to find him, but there was nothing. We searched around the truck, both sides of the truck, and found no sign of him, no footprints, no damage to the front of the truck. After a few minutes, we gave each other a nervous look, got back in, and drove to base without saying a word. We didn't tell anyone until later, when we overheard other maintenance guys talking about seeing a man walking on the Grover Express at night, only to vanish when they got close. That's when we told them what had happened to us. I don't know what it is about that area, but there are so many paranormal stories from F.E. Warren that I'm convinced it's haunted. I'll write in another time about the lady in black at the base cemetery and the screams from the abandoned building no one was allowed to enter. Oh, my God. Thanks for reading my story. Love the show, Rob. That's some creepy stuff. Especially when he opens the door, hearing the running down the hallway, and he opens the door and still hears all of that. The door opens, but nobody's there.
Not only does he hear it, but he feels it.
Yeah, like he said it was making the door frame shake.
And it, like, blew past him. Right? Well, that's a feeling when something blows past you. And so I think he felt like a pressure, too, of something. What do you think? Residual? You go in with residual on that one? It seemed to happen again.
It would have to be, I would think.
So I'm going to go with some activity happened. People had to get out of there fast. And it just keeps looping.
It's an energy thing. But I also get why you would jump back in bed and pull the covers up over your head.
Oh, absolutely. God, that's scary. But the man thing is really scary to me.
And the lights going out in the truck and then they bang the dashboard and they come back on and he's in front of them. I wasn't ready for that.
Jeez, me neither.
Holy cow. So creepy.
That is so scary.
And then you get out and there's no man. There's nowhere for him to go.
It feels residual, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like it's happening over and over and other people, it's happening to them. He's just out. Well, is that residual or is he just walking?
It could be residual. It could be.
Could be.
And it could be a ghost.
It could just be an entity that just walks the you know.
I guess what makes it feel, you know, what makes it feel not residual is the way the lights went out and then he's in front of them. That feels different.
And also, he acknowledged them. He waved.
Yeah. I don't think you would get a wave. And I don't think he could go directly in front of you. Because that's kind of moving off of his residual haunting.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he just haunts the area.
Because something happened, who knows when, and he probably died in that area, maybe in an accident, I'm going to guess. And he ended up in the middle of nowhere.
And he's just there, and he haunts it. Yeah, because I Googled Grover, Colorado, and there is nothing up there. That is pretty much in the middle of nowhere by the looks of the map. And so that is a creepy place to be driving in the middle of the night and have that happen.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's nobody to help him move on. Because, you know, if he was stuck in a haunted house, maybe a paranormal investigator would come along and they'd be like, hey, do you want to move on? You know, I can help you.
Right.
You need to go to the light. But that's not ever going to happen. Yeah. You know, because it's like, number one, can you find the guy? The ghost.
Because he disappeared.
Yeah. It's very strange.
When they tried to find him.
But yeah, I would love to hear the lady in black at the base cemetery.
Most definitely. Good story, Rob.
Woo-wee. I don't know that I want to experience that. Next time I'm driving late at night, I'll be like, please, I do not want to see a cowboy that vanishes. Here is our next story.
My name is Tony from New Jersey. I got a pretty interesting story. It's been going on for probably about the last 5 years now. I joined my local community fire department 6 years ago. And in that time, we've had a couple members of the department pass away. One specifically, one member by the name of Robert, who was my mentor and also a very great friend to my family, passed away unexpectedly. With that being said, Robert was a high cigar smoker. He liked to smoke cigars. Always had a cigar in his hand, always a smile, always a laugh. But one thing that he did love was that fire department. So for the last, I want to say, 2 years, we've been catching a pungent smell of cigar smoke throughout the firehouse. No one's there. Place is vacant. We'll come down for a call, and when we come into the firehouse to put our gear on to respond, you smell a very strong cigar smell. Now, with that being said, 2 weeks ago, I had an experience that I'm not quite sure if it was just me overthinking things or if it was truly an entity or Robert at the firehouse. So I went down to wash my car because we have a washing bay inside of the firehouse. Went down there. It was about 11:30 at night on a Saturday. Firehouse was quiet. No one was there. It was just me, myself, and I, and a radio. While sitting back there washing my car, that pungent smell of cigar smoke came across me. And I simply just said, "Hey, Robert, how you doing?" After I did that, I heard a bang come from the upstairs meeting room. Now I got a little spooked. So I went up to investigate to see maybe something fell, maybe door closed, you know, it's getting kind of cold out now, maybe because the heater kicking on, there was a kickback on the door. When I went upstairs, there's a cross that was etched out of wood by one of our members as a memorial piece that sits on a, like, easel that's in our meeting room that's in the corner. It was meant for Robert. That was face down on the ground. I don't know how to feel. I don't know if that's a sign of him telling me that he is here, if he's mad, or if it's just a coincidence. But with the two things that have happened, with the cigar smoke being one, and then that night with the sign falling over the memorial onto the ground, I just put two and two together, and I just assumed that he was there. Tell me what you guys think. Tell me how I should feel. Be safe. Keep up the good work, guys. Have a good night.
Don't you suppose it's him? I mean, it's okay. Interesting, the cigar smoke, he acknowledges it, then that happens?
I think so, and here's what I'm thinking. I don't think that this is something evil that was blasphemous against the cross or something. I think it was his way of saying, yes, it's me. This thing was here for me, and if it falls up, you know what I mean?
Because at first I was like, ooh, creepy, like demonic, the cross came down. But then when he explained about the cross, I didn't feel like that either.
I don't feel like it's that. I feel like it's just a way that he could make some statement to let Tony know it was him, that he's there, he's watching over you guys at the firehouse. And I think it's good. I think it's okay. I think his friend is there, you know, supporting them.
And I mean, the odds of him smelling the cigar smoke and then him acknowledging him, and then that happens with, of all the things that could have fallen.
Right.
It's that. And a person like that, you know, I think there are some professions, especially firefighting, that you would be very much about. Your job is kind of your identity. So I could see how you would want to stay around.
Yeah. I agree. I think he's there, Tony. I think he's supporting, protecting. And that was the one way he could let you know specifically it was him.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So I hope that he feels like that's what it was.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty profound, actually. I would think that would take a lot of effort. It's like I got the cigar smoke going, and now I got to do that. You know, maybe he connects that and figures out that I'm here. But just the acknowledging him, I think, would be pretty, like, hey, yeah. You know, and then that happens. I just find that to be really interesting.
I do,
especially
too.
As close as they were, because he said he was his mentor.
Yeah, so. And I think you're right. I think firefighters are really, that's their identity.
Yeah.
And so why wouldn't he?
Because Lord knows they are underpaid. And,
yeah.
You know, so they're not doing it for the money, because you're not going to get rich doing that. And I definitely think they're underpaid.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool, actually. So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us by leaving us a voicemail, 855-853-4802. Write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you want to be a premium subscriber, get advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials, you could do that through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Carol Hughes. Thanks for listening.